Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. We're back to continue discussing Girls Next Door Season 4, Episode 3, Half-Baked Alaska. And we ended last week talking about like fan interactions and stuff. Have you ever had a really bad fan interaction?
Oh, boy. Probably, but it's one of those things that I feel like I need to think about for a minute. But I remember you telling me a story of one you, like two of them that you had that were really bad. One was in an airport and one was in like Mexico.
Yeah, I've talked about those before and I don't remember if it was Patreon or main podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So if it was main podcast, forgive me for retelling this. But I've had like two bad ones. One of them happened when I first met my ex-husband. We went on vacation with some friends of his to Mexico. And this was like back when like Instagram was brand new. So maybe I had posted something about being in Mexico, but there wasn't even Instagram stories back then. So it wouldn't have been anything super current where anybody would have known like the exact location or anything like that. And we went to go eat at some restaurant that was right off of like this highway. So we get out of the car, and I swear the second I get out of the car, this car goes speeding down the highway. And then I hear like screaming and screeching and stop, turn around. And these people come back and they're all like belligerent. And they're like a couple girls and a guy in their 20s. And they pop out of the car and they run up to me and they're like, oh my God, can we get a picture with you? Can we get a picture with you? And I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And I was like no makeup, wet hair. I don't even know how they would like recognize me from just speeding down the highway. It was weird. So they came up, oh, let me get a picture, let me get a picture. And I'm like, okay. So I'm standing there getting a picture, and I know I look like absolute shit because I've got no makeup, wet hair. So I'm kind of doing like a soft smile. Like I don't want to do a big grin because sometimes that just looks crazy and yeah. Makes you look worse. So I'm doing kind of like a little smile. And the girl next to me was screams in my ear, smile, fucking smile. And I go, you know what? I don't have to do this. And I like stepped away because she was like super drunk and belligerent and like screaming in my face. And then she starts freaking out and going, you fucking whore, you fucking whore, to the point where the guy had to like grab her and like drag her away. And I had like just met my ex-husband at that point. I'd never met his friends before, really. I was so embarrassed. Everybody's kind of looking a little shell-shocked, like, oh my God, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So that was a crazy one.
That's horrifying to me.
And then there was another one that happened kind of around that same period of time. I was flying somewhere. I was on a layover, sitting there, you know, waiting for my plane, just like facing a book or whatever. And there were these girls that I think maybe they were like on like a college soccer team or something. And they were traveling and they were like sitting somewhere behind me. And I hear them talking and I don't hear my name or anything, but I just hear this chatter of like, oh, I want to go ask for a picture. And one of the girls is like, no, I'm not going to go take a picture with a fucking whore. I'm not going to take a picture with a whore. And I'm like, are they talking about me? But I didn't really know.
Yeah.
And then they all come over and ask for a picture. And I'm like, okay. Like, I don't want to say no and like cause a bigger problem. But at the same time, like, I don't want to take the picture because one of them like clearly fucking hates me and thinks I'm a fucking whore and doesn't want to be there. Okay. So don't fuck. I didn't ask you to take a picture with me. Go away.
Yeah.
But yeah. So there's like some not so great experiences out there. And it makes you feel a little unsafe. Like if somebody's willing to be like screaming in a public place about what a whore you are.
That's scary.
How do I know they're not going to come punch me in the face? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I've had people like super like fan and want like a photo. And they're like, you can tell they're super excited. And they'll ask their friend to take the photo. And the friend will be like, ugh. And like be rolling their eyes at me and giving me dirty looks and stuff like that. But it's not me. It's your friend that wants the photo. Like,
yeah, it's not like you're making everybody stop and do it.
Yeah, so I've had that. And I feel like I have had experiences. They're just not like coming to me at the moment. But like, But for some reason, your airport story reminds me of another story that I have that has nothing to do with hater people. But like, I was sitting there waiting for a flight. And this was not long after I moved out of the mansion, but long enough. Like, I think it had been like maybe probably a year after or something. Hef and Crystal were definitely like an item and like together and everything. And there were these rumors. I don't know the truth. These were rumors that Crystal was sleeping with her trainer, her like personal trainer.
Oh, I've heard that rumor too. And I've heard like extensive stories about it, which again, this is secondhand, no proof. But I heard after Crystal did like the whole runaway bride thing, the trainer wrote Hef a letter, an old fashioned letter, confessing the whole thing and saying that when Crystal said she was going home to visit family, they were really off vacationing together. And that Crystal would tell the trainer that she wasn't really with Hef, that it was just for publicity. So this was kind of like an apology letter to Hef. And I guess Hef read it aloud at Manly Night. That's how I heard about it. I think it was from Kevin.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so I'd heard all of these stories too, but I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know him. I don't barely
allegedly.
Know her. Yeah. So, but I had gotten a pizza, like a personal pizza, and I go to my gate and I'm sitting there. I remember I was sitting Indian style, eating my sloppy, greasy pizza. Uh-huh. And this guy keeps looking at me. He's like sitting in these other chairs over here, and I'm trying to ignore and eat my pizza. And then he finally walks over to me and he says, "You're Bridget, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, I'm Crystal's trainer at the mansion." Ooh. And so I feel stupid now because one, I'm eating greasy pizza and here's a trainer at the mansion. And then two, I know all these stories that I shouldn't even know about the trainer and Crystal. And he's like, and I'm just like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like, I just felt really awkward.
Oh my God, like, that's funny.
Yeah. It just, even though it had nothing to do with your airport story, as soon as you started saying that, it just reminded me of that story.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I was just like, "Nice to meet you, cool." Yeah. Like, we can't have this conversation because I feel like I know stuff that I can't even have a normal conversation
with
you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so then, but speaking of people being rude, this next scene, people are so nice.
Oh, I know. Everybody was amazing.
Like, we go to this bar in Ketchikan. It's called KJ's. And the first thing.
We say it's called KJ's, but it shows us walking into a doorway with a sign over it that says Raven's Roost. Oh. Did you notice that?
No. I just say we're calling it KJ's, I know. I thought it was KJ's.
But that bar is still there, but it's called The Asylum now. Oh. And listen to what happens. So I go on this Alaska cruise, and we get off on the Ketchikan stop, and Josh and Todd are, like, somewhere else, and I go to Creek Street, and I'm walking around, and Josh is like, "Oh, come meet us. We're at this bar called The Asylum." So I look it up on GPS. I walk up there. And I go inside and I see that it's this two-story bar with like the beam. And I remember on this scene, people walking on the beam. And there was like nobody in this bar. It was like us and like one guy sitting in the corner. And I go, "Oh my God, I think I was actually at this bar 15 years ago. I think I filmed something here." And the old timer sitting in the corner pops out of nowhere like a pirate of the Caribbean. Like, "You sure did. I remember that." And it was just so funny because it just created this impression of like that guy hadn't moved in 15 years. Like he was just like that was his spot at the bar and he's sticking to it.
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, we're walking through the door and like one of the waitresses or whatever is giving us big old hugs as we walk in the door. I was like, dang, they're very for people who don't like hugs, don't come here.
Yeah. FYI, if you guys go to Ketchikan and you go to the asylum, there's this little like burger shack next to it called Burger Queen, and it's supposed to be one of the best places to eat. For some reason, I didn't order food from there when I was there, but like Josh and Todd and then some of the other entertainers from the boat met us there, and they all got like burgers and fries, and they have like a million flavors of shakes. So
yum.
You gotta go if you're in Ketchikan.
Yeah, apparently. Sounds good right now.
So when we were back at KJ's back in the day, the bar was absolutely fucking packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Well, I think they must have told everybody we were coming there at a certain time. And
people were like hanging from the ceiling, literally. There was that beam that went across the way and people were like tightrope walking on it.
Scary.
And stuff.
Yeah, but they really were.
And I saw something weird where a guy like pulled up a shirt and then kisses Kendra. Like,
I saw that too. Well, I see in commentary like, something about he wanted her or all of us to sign his like hairy chest. And she was all grossed out by it. And then he like leaned over and like kissed the side of her head.
Yeah.
But a little awkward right there.
Yeah, like, it looked a little aggressive.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up with a big log that he had like with a chainsaw carved a Playboy bunny out of it.
Yes. Am I making this up or did this happen? When we were there, was there like a, I don't even know what you call it, like a chainsaw contest going on?
Yeah, like lumberjack contest.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing like a bunch of chainsaws and stuff and somebody saying that was going on. And I remember thinking, well, that would be fun to go to.
Yeah, I think there was like a big like lumberjacking contest going on at that time.
It would have been fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably the same reason we didn't do Dolly's Museum is there probably just wasn't time.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like that would have been a fun thing. Mm-hmm. And it would have been fun if we could have competed in something. I don't know what.
If there was anything easy we could have done.
Yeah, yeah. You know how they do, like, the thing where you stand on the log and you have to and you fall in the pool
oh my
or whatever?
God, yes.
I mean, I know we couldn't do it, but I feel like that at least be something we could.
Try it for 2 seconds.
Try. Yeah. Probably couldn't even get on the log.
Yeah.
But I just think of stuff like that. They probably don't do anything like that. They're probably, like.
Yeah, I think it's just like when they have that thing and they like climb the log, that chain thing, and they like scoot themselves up the log, like whoever does that fastest, and then like axe throwing and chainsaws and all that stuff.
Oh, axe throwing, we could have done that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that could have been fun, but whatever.
So that whole big giant Playboy bunny log, we didn't take that with us, did we? I think there was some thought like, oh, we could go put that on the mansion grounds in the woods somewhere. But it was so heavy. We couldn't have taken it back with us, right?
We take it back to the hotel with us. And later in commentary, we say that we went out to the forest behind our hotel and like put it out in the forest.
Oh, yeah. I do remember like leaving it in the forest somewhere. I think the thought was let's take it back to the mansion. But it was like it was so heavy.
There was no
way. How
are
we going to do it?
But we took pictures with tons of people. We signed autographs in there, like, and we had drinks. And it was just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great time. And I love it, too. People are like, I'm going to take a picture with Holly's mom and Holly's dad.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
They're probably like, what the hell is going on right now?
It's so funny. I said Nick was next to me. He's like, wait, Holly's parents are in this? I got to see what they look like.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know what's crazy? Certain children's vitamins, a lot of them, are basically candy in disguise. Some of them are even filled with up to 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy additives growing kids should never eat. That's why Hiya created a super-powered, chewable vitamin. And these taste great, I know, because I have tried them myself. They're perfect for picky eaters. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste that they love. And they also come in these adorable containers. You get stickers with your first shipment. I just recently got their collab with the Lion King. Those containers were super cute. My kids loved them. Also, I want to know, are you tired of battling with your kids to eat their greens? I think that's something we can all relate to. Hiya now has kids' daily greens plus superfoods, a chocolate-flavored greens powder designed specifically for kids, packed with 55-plus whole food ingredients to support brain power, development, and digestion. You just scoop, shake, and sip with milk or any non-dairy beverage for a delicious and nutritious boost your kids will actually enjoy. The same multivitamin that more than a million kids and parents love are now available with Disney's The Lion King and a new Lion King unboxing experience, including Lion King bottle and Lion King stickers. And we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/next level. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/next level and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Nick said, it's weird that you and Holly kind of come from such weird places. I don't think mine is nearly as weird, but he was like, it's weird that you and Holly both come from weird places. That was his comment.
In a way, yes. But in a way, no, because I feel like if you're going to be a little girl who like sees a really pretty girl in Playboy and you dream of doing that, you almost it's almost like helpful. I don't know if that's the right word, but if you're going to go on that trajectory and you're going to be the type of person that's inspired by that, you might be somebody who comes from like a weird small town.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too? Like we were both born in Oregon And then, but we don't really have like an emotional connection to Oregon, mm-hmm. really. And then we both were lived like kind of rustic, you in Alaska, but me just out, like my parents had a cow, or my stepdad had cows and horses, mm-hmm. and like, you know, in the country type of thing. And then both made it to Playboy somehow.
Yeah. And there's even similarities with Sarah too, because she's also from Oregon. And the other weird thing, which we talked about in our Sarah Underwood interview, is we all had that same experience where we went to go try out for Playboy at an open casting. And we thought, oh, we show up in a bikini. That's all they need. And there was like, you have to be topless. And we're like, like we're ready to pose, but we're not ready to pose. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
That is interesting that we all had that same experience.
Yeah.
But that just tells me, too, that Playboy is specifically not telling people. You know, they're kind of, they're being very vague about it.
It's a bait and switch to, like, get people through the door.
Mm-hmm.
And to get the kind of girl they want, the girl. Because they ideally want, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. This is just what their thought was. They ideally wanted a girl who's, like, the girl next door, who's never done any kind of nudes or stripping or sex work or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want the farmer's daughter.
Right.
But the farmer's daughter that you want isn't necessarily going to be like, all right, boys. Right. You know, even if they want to be in the magazine and they want to look that pretty and they want the money and the opportunities, they're not going to be so bold that they show up wanting to be topless on day one.
But if you say bikini, well, that's no problem.
Yeah, well, that, yeah. And if they, then they pick me, then there's
and
something.
If they
yeah.
pick me, then I mm-hmm. will do it.
Yeah.
That was my whole thought. 100%.
100%.
Okay, so then the next thing was seaplane.
Yeah, so the first day we were in Ketchikan, and the second day was the Craig day. And you get our first glimpse of the float plane. I'm wearing an interesting outfit.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing these Pucci rain boots and then this weird, like, Victoria's Secret sweater set that's just all kinds of crazy colors with, like, a hat and, like, leg warmers that go with it. I tried to, like, do it. If you're watching the video, I tried to do a little tribute to that today with, like, mukluks and matching sweater. But the colors were more obnoxious than the one I'm wearing on TV.
You say you are describing to the viewer what a float plane is, and you're like, it's a little plane with skis and it can land on water. I like to go on this because it reminds me of Amelia Earhart, and I'm like, don't say that.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, well, I think because the confessionals are done like after the fact, like I know what's gonna happen, so yeah. I'm like giving it a little setup.
Yeah. And Scott, the float plane pilot, I don't know why that's hard for me to say, is explaining all the safety stuff to us. And Kendra asks, where's the parachutes at?
Yeah.
And he says, well, you just, there's water, so you'll just jump out.
But that's like, so not realistic. Like hitting water will, if you're high enough up, like.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
So we are crammed in this plane. Mm-hmm. There's three rows of seats, if I remember right. And we are all the way in the back. And we're like shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Sardines in there. And then the seat in front of us was the cameraman mm-hmm. and the sound guy. And then in the very front were two separate seats. And it was the pilot and Joe.
Yeah.
And
I'm surprised that many people could fit in, honestly.
Yeah. So that was our setup. And the rest of the crew were coming on a separate plane behind us. They were just like a few minutes back. So it shows us taking off, water. We're looking at all the sights. Everything's pretty. It's nice. And it shows us hitting a little bit of turbulence. Mm-hmm. Like there is like a little jolt. And Kendra freaks out. Like I remember her grabbing my legs so hard that I was like, I was thinking to myself, I'm going to have bruises. And then in an interview, you say, when we're in the air, and this has never happened to me before, but of course this has to happen when I have two city slicker friends with me, the plane starts to break down. And I want to talk about like what I remember mm-hmm. experiencing.
Do it.
Tell
yeah.
me what you remember. But I just remember, so the plane is really, really loud. Like it's just a propeller plane, so you really hear it loud. And so even when we're talking, I think we had, like, the thing so you can even hear yourself mm-hmm. and stuff. All of a sudden, it just went silent. Well, it kind of puttered. And then it went silent. And then the whole, like, cockpit of the plane kind of filled up with not smoke that you could see, but, like, the smell of, like, gas, like, plane fuel. And then the pilot kind of, not freaked out, but, like, was quickly, like, trying to, like, do switches and adjust things or whatever. And then he got it going again. And it was loud and we were going again. But then it happened again. And it was like, put, 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 put. And the engines went silent.
Yeah.
And then he was really kind of, like, in my opinion, in a panicky kind of way, like, doing things with the switches and the toggles and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then turned around and apologized to us and said he's going to land it. And in my mind, okay, that's scary. But in my mind, I was kind of like, well, we're in a float plane. So we're just going to float. We're just going to drift down and land on the water. And we're just going to float to, like, wherever.
Yeah.
Or we'll float here till, like, they come and get us or whatever. Like, I was not worried. But apparently that's not really how it works when one of these planes breaks down. I mean, it did work like that for us, so we were lucky. But typically, that's a crash.
Wow.
When, like, it goes out like that. Like, my dad was telling me, because he lived in Washington, and so very close, like, close to this area, and he was like, well, not close, but you know what I mean? Like, enough to where he gets the news and, like, hears the reports and stuff like that, of that these planes crash all the time.
Whoa. You know what's crazy is you're talking about all the little details you remember, and I don't remember any of those details because I flew on those planes quite a bit as a kid, and they're just so unpredictable. And not that I was ever on one that was, like, close to crashing that I knew of, but, like, the turbulence was so bad. They're so janky. They're so loud. That if, like, you smell shit or the sound is going out, or, like, I honestly did not think a thing of it. I was just like, this is what it is. I didn't think a thing of it until he turned around and said, oh, hey, we're going to have to land.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was pretty calm about it because, like I said, I thought we would just glide down. But yeah, afterwards, and then hearing, like, other people's opinion on it and things like that, people are like, no, that could have, like, really crashed. Then after, I kind of felt like, holy crap, maybe that's, like, a near-death experience type thing.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. I don't know how serious it was, but people thought that we made this up or that it was fabricated for the show or whatever. Not at all. This was legitimately plane problems twice, and we absolutely made an emergency landing.
I've even questioned it in the years since. Like, obviously, in real time, I thought, oh, yeah, of course it's real. Of course there's a problem or we wouldn't have landed. But, like, when I was doing my YouTube rewatch, I was like, was that faked for the show? And I remember texting you, like, do you think that was faked for the show? Do you think they were in on it with the pilot?
I don't think so, because luckily there, when we land, there is a remote, like, fishing village there. There was nobody there. I think it was closed down, but...
But, like, how lucky that we were even close to that.
Yeah.
And what are the chances that that happens on camera?
Right. But the reason I don't think it was set up is because they had to radio to the other plane that had the rest of our crew in it that they also needed to land there. Mm-hmm. And we had to switch planes with them. And I remember Lauren, one of our producers, being, like, kind of freaked out and irritated because they needed to get there, too. And, like, how are we going to logistically – we only have so much time.
Right.
And now this messed their whole logistics.
Oh, okay. And that makes sense. So if they would have been planned for the show, they would have had, like, a backup or something.
Yeah, they would have had another plane.
They don't want to throw off their one day left to get footage, or else Hef is going to blow a gasket. We can't stay an extra day.
Right. And so our crew, not the crew that was with us on the plane, but the rest of the crew that was coming with, all the producers and everything, had to stay at that remote fishing village until a third plane came to get them. And we took their plane with the one camera crew and made it to Craig, but we had to shoot with that one camera crew until the rest of the crew could make it.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think it was faked at all.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then how do you – well, I guess if you know what you're doing, you could make the whole fuselage of the plane smell like gas if you – you know,
but like, that would be like a whole extra, like, special effects that they probably wouldn't have done.
Well, I mean, but maybe he knew, like, if I shut off this engine, then it's going to smell, you know, and then that'll really scare them. But when the plane did shut off, Kendra, like, scratched me. So, like, literally bleeding. Literally,
oh my
God. Like, she was in a panic.
Ugh.
And I think this is interesting, too. I was thinking about this, too. Remember how I was saying when, like, the tissue paper caught on fire? It's so interesting to see people's reaction in, like, an emergency situation or, like, semi-emergency urgent situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kendra is, like, freaks out and is over the top in that episode, like, running out, practically running out of the mansion. And you and Hef seem like not sure what's
unfazed.
Going on. Unfazed.
Yeah.
And I'm, like calmly trying to, like, put it out. Not doing a very good job about it, but I'm, like, calmly trying to put it out. And kind of similar reactions in this scene. Kendra's, like, freaking out way over the top, like, is ready to put on her parachute and jump out of the plane. And and you're kind of very nonchalant, like, what? This is no big deal. We're fine. Yeah.
Flirting through life.
And I feel like I'm a little bit like, wait, is this supposed to be, like, I'm a little bit in between there somewhere. Like, I'm not panicking, but I'm also like, no, I think something's not right here. We should maybe be landing or do it. I don't know what I was thinking, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's interesting because, again, we have the three
different viewpoints. And, like, and those were organic. And what are the chances that he just happens to end up with three girls who have such different outlooks on things, which works for the show because then you get, like, these contrasts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
I remember the pilot saying to us, too, under other circumstances, I might have kept going, but I didn't want to risk it with you guys on board.
What? Just a daredevil.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my God.
That makes me wonder, like, how critical the situation was. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're a pilot out there and you know these type of planes, if the engine totally cuts out and goes silent twice and everything smells like gas, how critical is that? Let us know.
I would think pretty critical, but
I would think so, too.
But him saying, oh, I might have just kept going with other people. That's another, like, typical Alaska. Just people just will get shit done. Like, it's a whole different mindset up there.
Yeah.
I think I've told you guys before how much easier my life got after I found an amazing hairstylist in Las Vegas that takes bookings online. I can just go in, pick the date I want. If it's not available, the next one, bam. It used to be so difficult. I would go back and forth between like three different hairstylists. Hey, are you available this date? No, this one, this one. And it was just all day of sending texts, bopping around, trying to find the person who like can fit into my crazy schedule. But now I don't have to do that anymore. And that's why services like Boulevard are so important for your business. Boulevard is the number one client experience platform built specifically for appointment-based self-care businesses because salons, spas, barbershops, med spas, and other self-care businesses are so personal, the platform powering your business should feel the same way.
It's not just software. It's a smarter, more personal, and organized way to manage all of your business's locations in one place. Whether it's online bookings, payments, appointment reminders, client profiles, and more, Boulevard makes every interaction seamless and every part of your business look polished and professional. No more no-shows, scheduling headaches, or chaos behind the counter, just smoother operations and happier clients. Right now, Boulevard is offering new customers 10% off your first year subscription when you go to joinblvd.com/nextlevel and book a demo. That's joinblvd.com/nextlevel. Book a demo and get 10% off your first year subscription. Join blvd.com/nextlevel.
So the controls in that plane, when they show a shot of like the pilot up there, it just looks like archaic. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So we had to land, like you said, on this random fishing village and wait for the other plane to come get us. And Kendra doesn't really want to get on. And I'm like, now you've faced your fears.
Well, you know what? Remember, she wouldn't even talk to us when we got off the plane. She like went off by herself. You and I are sitting there on the dock.
Yeah.
And she kind of goes off by herself and she doesn't want to talk to anybody. And my phone said SOS on it. And I remember yours did too.
Mm-hmm.
She
we were
says,
out of range.
Yeah, like it was completely that. But she says that she had service.
Hmm.
I don't know how she had service. And she said she called everyone she knew and said she almost died.
Maybe we were like the Verizon girlies and she was something else.
Maybe. I've always been Verizon.
Me too.
So that's possible.
So we go to Craig. Like I've said last week, you can see Craig and Prince of Wales Island a lot on those Alaska off the grid shows that are on these days.
Mm-hmm.
And you say on the show that there are 1,200 people there, and I'm surprised there's that many.
I was too. When I said that, I was like, wait, 1,200? That's, I mean, I've heard, not that that's big, but I've heard of like smaller towns.
I would have guessed like 600 max.
Yeah.
So I was so excited that we got to go to Ruth Ann's because that was my favorite place to eat when I lived there. But it's burned down since then. It's
oh,
not
really?
There anymore. Yeah. And I can still, like when they showed the burger and fries on this episode, like I can taste the burger and fries. It was like this really good like charbroiled burger and like the fat steak fries. Ugh.
One other thing I wanted to, just in case people ask about the plane thing that mm-hmm. I wanted to add, like Kendra was talking about, we can just take a boat. Why can't we just take a boat, whatever? But the boat, there is a boat we could have done, but it was like a 3 hour each way, and there was no way there was time for that.
Yeah, we just didn't have time.
So I just wanted to get that out there because I feel like people are going to be like, isn't there any other way? Oh, and there's, in Alaska, there's not roads like we have here.
Yeah.
Or on the mainland. Like, there's not roads. As far as I know, there's not roads that link everything together
over there. You have to fly
or you have to take a boat around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rustic and hard to get around over there. So that is why we didn't drive or take a boat.
And the ferry rides were always interesting too, because you didn't know how turbulent those were going to be either.
Oh.
Like, we would always take a ferry called the Aurora, and I think that was, like, the nicer one they had. But then there was one called the Chilcat, and you did not want to get on the Chilcat.
Oh, no. Because
I guess it was just, like, a nightmare.
Well, we do take another ferry. I remember driving the car. Or not me driving. You were driving. But, like, we drove the car on a ferry.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, we did do that kind of stuff. But and then the waitress is telling you, oh, by the way, Kendra's getting drunk at lunch because she's, like, so stressed out and she's got to get back on the plane in a few hours. But the waitress says something interesting to you. She says, we have evidence of your existence, which I think is interesting the way she says it, because it's almost like, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I kind of felt this vibe on that scene that she was suggesting, like, people were maybe suggesting that you'd never really live there. Who is this person? She didn't really live here. And then somebody was like, no, she did. Look it. She's in my book.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there was talk in the town like that. Like, no way was this girl ever lived here. Why is she saying this?
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe I got from this.
And I think it plays into, like, the whole, like, makeover vibe of it too. How, like, I look nothing like that person back then. And, like, how is this even the same person? Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then they bring out a yearbook. This girl brings over a yearbook and you're like, wait.
Yeah, that's so weird to me because I don't ever remember having, like, my kids now, like, they bring home a yearbook every year from grade school. But back then, like, I didn't have a yearbook, but I guess it was like the high school kids, because in Craig, like, the one school was like K through 12 and there just were not very many people there. So, like, the high school kids would get a yearbook, but I guess everybody was pictured in it and I just didn't know that. And there would be like a, you know, the first grade class and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that was cute. And then they say that, oh, by the way, we take a picture with that girl and her kids. I think they're her kids. Uh-huh. And I was thinking to myself, those kids are probably in their 20s now.
Yeah, 100%.
Look like two little twins. But
did I ever tell you, like, the first experience that ever made me feel old was in season 5, we go to the Madonna Inn for Anastasia's 21st birthday. And we were on the dance floor and there was a little kid asked me to dance. Now, I don't remember the age of this kid, but in my mind, he was little, like an 8-year-old or something. And then not that many years later, like when I first got together with my ex-husband, we drove up the California coast to go to a festival he had up in the San Francisco area. And we stopped at the Madonna Inn and we were having dinner in the steakhouse. And the waiter came up to me and he goes, hey, I was the little boy you danced with. And I'm trying to do the math because it wasn't that many years. It was like 4 years. So, like, what's the youngest you have to be to, like, work in California? 15? I don't know. But in my mind, sometimes, especially before I had kids, I'm bad at guessing, like, kids' ages.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the actual span was. But in 2008, when we shot that, I remember dancing with a little kid. And then only a handful of years later, here's this grown man almost. And I was like, ugh, like shell shock. Like, that was the first time I, like, felt old.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And in one of my confessionals here that I'm doing in this episode, I'm so zoned out. And I can tell I'm in one of those modes. I don't know if you'd call it, like, depersonalization or, like, derealization or, like, autistic bell jar mode, where I'm just, like, not in my body.
Huh. What bell jar mode? What does that mean?
It's like you feel like, I mean, bell jar is, like, Sylvia Plath uses that to describe, like, her depression and mental illness that she was going through. But I call it that because there's certain moods I get in where I feel like I'm not even in my body. I feel like there's a huge pane of glass in between me and everybody else, if that makes sense.
Yes, because I feel like I've felt that before, where I feel like I'm not in my own body.
Yeah, it's really weird and a little bit disturbing. And it's like I don't hear an echo, but it's almost like everything is processing in my head.
I know what you're talking about. I feel
like
I've
had that.
Isn't it the worst
thing? It's so weird and it's so real, but so hard to describe. And I don't like it because I feel like my soul is out here floating and I'm just like hanging on by a string to my body.
That's so interesting. I've tried to describe that before too. Like I don't, like I'll just say, oh, I don't feel like I'm in my body today or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird thing to say, but like.
Just like not grounded. And I can tell that one of these confessionals in the show, I'm in that mode because I'm just like, I'm not there.
Hmm.
It's so weird.
And then they say, well, no, in commentary, we say that there was somebody there that you actually used to be friends with, but why didn't they show her on the show?
I don't know. Yeah, Jennifer, she was like one of my best friends growing up. I was always over at her house. We did our like lemonade stands together. Like
if anybody, they should have showed that person.
Yeah, some of the choices on the show, they should have done an OTF with her.
Yes. The only thing I could think of is maybe she didn't want to be on the show.
Maybe. And I do think we ran into her when we were like kind of on the way out of there and hurrying on to something else. So maybe the crew even wasn't like processing my convo I was having.
Yeah.
I mean, I should have been more on top of it. I should have been like, hey, get an interview or something like that. But
yeah, that would have been so interesting.
Disconnected.
And then in commentary, we're also talking about how some of the tables had wormholes in them.
Yeah, well, not the table we sat at, but there was like an aisle going into Ruth Ann's and there were these really pretty like wooden tables that had like holes in the wood. And I don't know if they are caused by worms, but as a little kid, I thought that. And it had glass over it. So it was always like really fascinating to me as a kid to like look at the wormholes.
Okay, but they weren't necessarily
I don't know
wormholes. Okay. I thought it was a thing.
Maybe they're termite holes. I don't know what they are. So we're driving away from the restaurant and there's a voiceover of me saying, I wonder what Puffin's doing now. In confessional, I say, Hef either does one of two things when we're gone. He either gets a lot of work done or he parties and I just don't know about it. So they cut to him in Mary's office.
It's funny. Did you notice what they're doing right here? They has him walking down the hall, like past all the bedrooms mm-hmm. and stuff. And then he walks into a room and they don't show where he's walking into. And he goes, hello, my darling.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
I feel
that's,
like they're
that's
trying.
A good gag.
Yeah, they're like trying.
Like he's really partying and she doesn't know it.
Or he's going into a girl's room yeah. that's there at the mansion right now. And it's Mary. So I think that's
so
cute.
Funny. I didn't catch that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I do notice when he walks in, something we never pointed out, just a random detail. There's this big framed photo over the couch he always sits on. And that photo was like all the centerfolds ever, like really tiny, like in rows.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
And Hef says, it's been a long 3 days. And as dumb as it sounds, I think he's very sincere in that. Like, I think he feels like this is a fucking long time to have
no
girls in the house.
Yeah. This scene, I feel like, is very interesting, the way they are talking about us being gone.
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk about it more after we talk about the scene.
Okay, cool. I also notice on Mary's desk, there's a giant coffee table book about vaginas.
Yes.
And there's just a close-up of a shaved vag covered in sprinkles.
Yes.
There you have it.
But I feel like unless you know what it is, you kind of don't know what it is.
Totally. Like it probably wasn't even blurred on TV, maybe.
I bet not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. I just read that workplace stress is now one of the top causes of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce experiencing higher than normal levels of stress. And I totally get it. Like when I used to work at a doctor's office, I just remember there being an incredible amount of stress, like working with different doctors' personalities, working with different personalities in the office, different beliefs, different ways of doing things. It was really, really tough and really, really stressful. But unfortunately, to battle that stress, most of us can't just wave goodbye to work. We have to be there every morning. But what we can do is start small with a focus on wellness.
Therapy's helped me so much during my life. And one thing I've learned is that by talking to a great therapist, you can gain a lot of skills and insights into dealing with these interpersonal dynamics that sometimes your paycheck depends on. It's super important. With BetterHelp, they have over 30,000 therapists. BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works with an App Store rating of 4.9 out of 5 based on over 1.7 million client reviews. It's convenient too. You can join a session with a therapist at the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. Nothing beats being able to avoid the drive across town to make it to your therapist appointment. Am I right? Plus, you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/nextlevel. That's betterhelp.com/nextlevel.
So he, you know, Hef's telling Mary how that it's been the longest, and he's shaking his head. And Mary cuts him off and says, "I know, but absence." And then he cuts her off and says, "I know," makes the heart grow fonder. And he said, "The mansion just doesn't feel the same to me when they're gone." And you can tell he's like really lonely mm-hmm. and like feeling that, in my opinion. And Mary says, "Yeah, it just doesn't have that energy." And then he says, "That's right, but I'll keep busy." And I just feel like it was sort of an eerie conversation for me to hear because, and maybe I'm delusional,
yeah.
but I feel like this was felt very strongly when we were leaving. And I feel like I felt it at the mansion. I felt like the mm-hmm. energy was
definitely changed.
Deflating.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what like Hef and Mary were feeling. Even though Kendra and I were still technically there. We were all packing and we were leaving and stuff.
Probably not like, physically present that much because you guys are right. doing other things.
Yeah, and we didn't give a shit about the curfew anymore. Yeah. We didn't give a shit about being any – like, if I showed up at buffet, I showed up at buffet. Mm-hmm. If I didn't, I didn't. Too bad. Yeah. You know, there yeah. wasn't like – neither one of us were abiding by any rules. Like, half the time we were gone. But I feel like – This is an interesting, I almost feel like a fly on the wall after we were gone. Like this would be a similar conversation or while we were leaving.
Yeah. I mean, somebody from the outside looking in might say, "Oh, Holly, that's just like you projecting." But I don't think it is. Even when I was looking at 2009 issues of Playboy featuring stuff that was shot after we left, I just got a gross energy even holding those magazines.
Yeah.
There was a bad energy.
There really, really was.
So he goes down the hall, and I love that he knocks on your door, even though nobody's in there.
I wanted to point that out, too, because you know how, like, on the Patreon, when we did last week's commentary, the uh-huh. last episode's commentary, I should yeah. say, separately, and I bring up one of the stories about people just busting in my room without knocking.
Yes.
And we all had like just a common mm-hmm. courtesy that we knocked before we entered somebody's mm-hmm. room. And even if they were expecting us, like we just, you know, knock. And even Hef did that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, I'm not even home. And he knows I'm not even home. And he's still like just out like of
muscle
habit,
memory. Yeah.
Knocked on the door, like Gizmo Nelly's coming in.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's sort of like an example of what I'm talking about. Like the courtesy and the respect and stuff that we all had for each other was mm-hmm. gone later on.
Yeah.
It was just gone.
Yuck.
But it's so cute. He goes and gives Gizzy some attention. And this just really warmed my heart.
Well,
so
totally.
Much.
But you know what else I wanted to point it out is, as a real person who observed Gizmo in real time, this is the first scene where they're letting Gizmo be herself.
I think so, too.
I think they want to make it look like she hates Wednesday and resents you for bringing Wednesday in, so she's always a grump. But this scene, if anybody wants to know how Gizmo really was, like, this is the first real scene of Gizmo,
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, she just comes walking right out, mm-hmm. gets pets, is purring, and loves it. And it's so, so sweet. Oh, and somebody was asking about Wednesday. Of course, she went to go stay with my parents. I could have taken both of them. But with a cat, it's sometimes just easier to,
yeah.
if it's just a few days, to leave them. And obviously the butlers and Hef and whoever will come in and give her pets and stuff. But Wednesday with my parents.
And it shows Hef goes into Kendra's room, pets her dogs, goes back into our room, is petting all of my dogs. And Harlow is so cute because she's like hidden in the bottom of the closet under his pajamas. And it's so funny because Harlow always, ever since the day I brought her home, loved to hide. first started hiding under my bed in bedroom 5. And then it would be hiding in Hef's closet. And then it would be hiding in those plants in the med room.
Oh, yeah. I remember popping out of those sometimes. Yeah. You're like, well, I didn't even know she's there.
People would be in the med room and wouldn't even know she's there. And all of a sudden a dog pops out. It was so funny.
I remember her hiding in Hef's closet, too, like liking to sleep underneath mm-hmm. the clothes right there and yeah. stuff. She looked so cute in that scene.
So cute. So back to Craig. I'm driving you guys around town. And I definitely don't need directions because there's like 2 roads there. There's like a handful of streets.
And you're like, this is where we had our lemonade and popcorn stand.
And there's not that much to show you guys because there's just not that many buildings there. They do show us going to my school. I think that's a deleted scene.
Oh, is it? Because I'm like, I remember doing that. Mm-hmm. Kendra's drinking vodka while we go visit the school, by the way, that's in a so juice funny. Bottle.
Oh, my God. And then I take you guys to see where I lived, but I lived in like a manufactured home. There was like a row of manufactured homes and they just weren't there anymore. There's a truck parked in that spot. So I'm like, oh, there's where my house was. And then we go to a part of town that was like the nice part of town to live. And there was like a swing set at a park and we get on the swings. And this is my favorite scene in the entire series. We're just all enjoying ourselves on the swing. And they do this really cool shot where there's like 3 dandelions of like graduated size in front of us. And we're the 3 of us swinging. And it's so cute.
I feel like I didn't even notice that part at first, the dandelion things, mm-hmm. until like later when you mentioned it. You mentioned it in commentary. But then I feel like you mentioned it too, like since we've been reviewing episodes. At one point you said it. And I was like, wait, I don't remember. But then I saw it. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Molly brought it up in her interview.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah.
Does Molly want to come in and do like a summer party?
I forgot to ask her. Oh, but yeah, I think she will. I think she will. This scene to me, but even not just even as a scene, even in real life, like this scene really sticks to me as like one of my like most heartfelt and like really feeling the love between the 3 of us. And this scene is one of those scenes where it really hurts my feelings when Kendra says stuff like, we were never friends.
Yeah.
And then I think back to like an episode like this, and it's not the only one, but like mm-hmm. we're reviewing this episode right now and this scene and stuff. And I'm like, how can she even say that kind of shit?
I don't know. I always felt like, and one of the reasons I found it offensive is I always felt like that was coming from a place of her trying to distance herself from us because like she thinks we're not cool and she's the only one who was a star out of the 3 of us. And, you know, why is that necessary? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I just see scenes like this that I feel like are so touching. And I know the kind of vibe that was going on. And we were all friends at this point. And I feel like you can really feel it in the scene. So in real life and in the scene, I feel like it's very touching. And I feel like it's very true and genuine. And then for her to be like, we were never friends, it's hurtful.
Yeah. And I say in confessional that this trip was one of my best times bonding with you guys. And it really was. Like, I feel like everybody was a good sport. Everybody had a good time. Everybody wanted to be there. We all loved traveling and exploring. And it was just a great trip for the 3 of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and we just go walk down by the water and we found these crazy big starfish.
Yeah, really pretty ones too, like a purple one and an orange one.
Yeah.
More wildlife than on our wildlife tour.
That is true. Yeah.
So you guys, we did have Molly Shock, our favorite Girls Next Door editor, come in and talk to us about a few things on our Patreon. So I decided to put the little section of her talking about the Alaska trip right here so she can answer a few of our questions.
This is the one I reached out to the cameraman, and he said his biggest memory was like he was in the chase plane. He was not the camera in the plane with you, but he has got to film you guys as you're crashing and going, oh shit, as you guys are going down. But he went with you guys to Monte Carlo and he sent me some photos. I'll share those with you afterwards and put you guys in touch because I think it'd be cool to talk to a camera person.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Mark was the cameraman in the plane with us that was going down.
So scary.
I think one of my favorite shots, there's so many favorite shots in that, but one of them is when you guys have just sat down on the plane and Kendra's in the middle and you guys, it's just such a great shot because there's motion to it and comic timing. It's like you guys are both sitting back as Kendra's sitting forward. And the pilot says, you guys ready? And you both go, yep. And Kendra goes, nope.
That's funny. I didn't even notice that. That's so good.
It's one of my favorite little moments. I remember even back then it being funny. In the podcast, you commented that we had very Tennessee music.
Yeah.
And so because you said we didn't have a lot of indigenous music in the Jingle Pucks.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for those who don't know, because like what I would think of as Alaska music would be so specific.
Like I actually looked up what does indigenous music sound like, and then there's the deleted scene with Mayor Joe. Sorry, with Mayor Joe singing your welcome song. I'm like, well, we could have Mayor Joe score this.
Exactly.
But the reality is, it's like every episode that we do, we have, it's, you know, 22 minutes long, which means you're changing music cues from every 20 to every 40 seconds. So you're having 30 to 40 different music cues every episode. And the fact that there are, certainly were a few cues that got overused and you'd hear them all the time. The fact that there weren't more is a testament to how big the library was, but it still was limited. Like if you guys would travel, like I remember having to get German music for the beer hall and Oriental music. Sorry about that. Country, Tennessee, that at least felt kind of rusty.
Yeah.
And at least we would, if we were going to do a theme, whether it was Christmas or Paris or whatever, you had to have at least 20 cues to even start to work with, because you would have to have up-tempo scene starters or just kind of music for under the score, or if it's comedic or is it sentimental or is it scary. So that's 20 cues that we would need, but then we've got to choose them. So we've got to have like 80 cues. So we just don't have libraries that big.
Yeah.
So sorry.
No, of course.
But can you just tell everybody too, the plane, that was not staged.
That was not staged. No. Okay.
We were definitely crashing.
Oh, no. Absolutely. And like, it was like the look on when you've landed and you say, we're not even there yet. We have to get on another plane. And you could see the blood flow out of her face. She was scared.
Yeah.
And I know she drank a lot, I guess, at lunch or whatever. Like when she toured your school, she was drunk.
Yeah.
She was so drunk.
She's drinking in the school.
Yeah. Whatever that Gatorade thing is. But no, it was legit and real. And I'm grateful it was covered as well as it was. The thing I had to work really hard with continuity was, the first plane I think you were in had numbers on the side and the second one didn't.
Oh.
And or there was a red plane and a blue plane or something like that. But they were two very different. And I had to make sure that I'm showing the right plane and it's flying in the right direction. And so there were times when I'd want to flip it, mm-hmm. but I couldn't because it was the one with the numbers on it and the numbers would look backwards. But the other plane, I could flip the shot and you couldn't tell the difference because there was nothing that would look like it was in a mirror. So that one was tricky to do. But again, really grateful that the camera work was so good. Just even like when you guys go looking for bears, like when you pull away, the boat pulls away from the shore. That means there's a cameraman left behind to get that shot.
I didn't even think about that. Bye.
And then I'm sure you circle back and they get on. But they were getting really, really good about getting coverage.
Yeah.
And like when you guys go to the where you get the totem pole, the bar, where everyone's hanging from those. That was such a fun, not necessarily a fun thing to edit, but it was a fun thing just to witness, because there's a lot of times where I'll be cutting something and you got to cheat that it looks more crowded than it is. And I didn't have to do anything for this. Like everybody turned out and there, you know, the people in the ceiling, and it was just really fun that I, not that it was just covered well, but the stuff that was there was real. And like, you know, the guy going by on the bike saying, I love your show. Mm-hmm. And they managed to capture that. There was one scene, I think it was when you were having lunch up and with the Chinese food. There were some boys jumping off a bridge outside. And we cut a whole scene and it was great. But ultimately, clearance came back and said we didn't have clearance for those or releases for those people.
Oh, bummer.
And so,
so it's probably not a deleted scene either.
No, I actually looked and it's not even a deleted scene. So I remember cutting that and being bummed it got cut.
Yeah.
But I was surprised how many deleted scenes there were, because I forgot how much you guys did.
Yeah, we did a lot.
I didn't go back and watch all the deleteds yet.
There's a whole thing with Mayor Joe where you guys tour a traditional lodge. There's the whole tour of your elementary school. I think there's something else even. But yeah, there was a lot. And I think that was why I was initially overwhelmed when I had to cut it, because I think my first cut was something like, you know, 40 minutes long. And then stuff comes out.
Well, I feel like the Alaska episode could have been an hour long.
Yeah.
I really do.
It probably could have.
I wish they would have kept the long cuts for the DVD. So, like, you could watch it that way if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But they would have to, because the editing we do is called offline editing. Mm-hmm. And everything's in low resolution so that the computers can process and access things quickly.
Oh, okay.
Then once a show is locked, it goes to online and you use the high quality footage and sound and everything's mixed. So to put a long version on, you would also have to online.
Right. That makes sense.
So okay. That's why we don't show you guys everything.
Yeah.
I remember. Why, when you drive the truck to where your house used to be, why don't you get out of the truck? Because I remember at the time, like, you just drive past it and you kind of take a photo out the window, but you didn't actually, like, get out of the car.
Well, I just don't think there's anything to do there, really, because literally there was nothing there. Because there used to be, like, a row of, like, mobile homes, and that was, like, our little neighborhood, and I don't think there was anything left.
There was just that truck.
Yeah, so there wasn't really anything to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could just,
and I think
get
I was kind of, yeah, and I think I was kind of, like, embarrassed at the time, too, because, like, I, you know, was never trying to, like, push myself as somebody who, like, grew up, you know, wealthy or even upper middle class or anything. But I think it was a little, I don't know why that would have been embarrassing, because I was expecting to go back and find that same, like, manufactured, like, trailer home. But I think the fact that it wasn't there anymore was more embarrassing to me. I don't know why.
Oh,
I don't know. Like,
interesting.
Very, like, trailer trash. I don't know. Even though, like, I don't have any embarrassment about that.
I still remember the first time you say, like, and now there's nothing there but daisies. And just the way you say it, it was just so cute. And it's always stuck with me.
And do you feel like we were kind of not totally sure that was the spot? Like, we thought...
Oh, no, I knew. Yeah, I was a little disoriented that, like, nothing was there, because that wasn't what I expected to find.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think just for some reason it was embarrassing to me. And I don't know why that would have been, because I expected to find that house still there.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that there was nothing there was even more embarrassing. Like, it was even more trailer. You know, I don't know.
That truck, that's where I used to live.
Yeah. We pitched a tent, guys.
The rusted out truck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. That was something I always had wondered. Comment I noticed, I'm surprised we did not lower third Joe when he's comforting Kendra.
Oh, yeah, people ask, who is that person?
Yeah, he's your security, right?
Yeah, Joe from security.
Yeah, but we didn't lower third him, and we're lower thirding everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, we never really introduced Joe, and we should have, because he was such a staple in our lives.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Big staple.
Great.
Yeah.
Are you guys still in contact with him?
He died.
No, he passed away. But remember, like, you wanted to go to the hospital and visit him, and, like, nobody at the mansion would tell you where he was and stuff.
Yeah, but I did.
Remember,
I did go to visit
Yeah, because I remember you being upset about that, because you were trying to find out, and you're like, this isn't a family, like, they say it is, because, like, nobody was helping.
Yeah. Mm. I did go.
Good. Good.
And I went to his funeral, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, for Alaska, I just remember, again, how happy you and relaxed, and even Kendra, like...
Yeah,
and we had a great time.
The scene where you guys go down to the swing set, that truly is, like, that's, like, the pinnacle of what I wish the show could have been. Just how relaxed and happy we were, and how well it was shot, like the shot with the three of you on the swings with the flowers. I remember that just being so beautiful. And it just was, it was sweet, and it wasn't necessarily about anything. And so it showed, like, you know, like, oh, you're discovering the tide pools. And it just was a lovely scene. And of course, not everything's like that, but it to me, it's the pinnacle of what it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love having situational drama and not, like, bullshit catty girl drama, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite.
note, I did not show you eating, except when you happen to be taking a bite, Kendra asks you a question, you answer, and you're on camera as well. But there was a lot of eating scenes, and I did not show you eating.
Thanks.
Yeah. I loved, I don't know whose idea it was or when it was filmed, for, like, have to go around and say hi to the animals. But it's really kind of a cute scene.
I like it. Yeah, it's nice.
I love it.
I love, like, I mean, he's like, panda. Like, it just, the fact that he says a name, not just, like, hey, darling. Like, it's that difference of that he actually loved those animals. Or he loves animals in general. Yeah. But I always thought that was a really charming scene.
Mm-hmm. We want to say thank you to Molly again for stopping by. And if you guys want to hear more of her behind the scenes insights on season 3 and the first part of season 4, we'll have that up on our Patreon within the next couple of weeks. So sign up. There's a ton of content to binge in the meantime.
Do they do kind of wrap up things? Because I say my favorite thing in Alaska was just that it was something that the three of us got to do together. You really get to know somebody when you go to their hometown and they can show you around. And it's just really, really cool. And then in an interview, Kendra says, I just thought it was beautiful swinging on the swings and going down to the ocean and stuff like that. It was beautiful. And then I have you saying, I think Kendra I think it was brave of Kendra to get back on the plane, but she didn't really have a choice. So it was either that or a 3-hour boat ride. So I guess they're not really wrap-ups.
Well, I think my wrap-up was a shade earlier. It was when I say I think this was one of the best bonding experiences for the three of us.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then one thing I need to mention, too, we did not see a bear this whole trip. But when our plane was taking off from this area, I'm pretty positive I saw a bear. Ooh. There was like a island that was like a dump, mm-hmm. I think. There was lots of debris and stuff on it. And
there's a dump on every island. Like, we used to have to drive stuff to the dump, and then we would sit there and watch bears.
Yeah, well, there was a bear walking through. And at first I was like, what is that moving in there? And I looked closer, and I'm like, oh, my God, I think it's a bear. But by the time I said that, like, there was no way to, like, tell anybody anymore that I there's a bear, finally. We saw a bear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I saw a bear. Not positive.
That's so cool.
So we go back to the mansion. Limo pulls up. Hef comes out. We all hug him. You were car sick or something.
Yeah, I said I was nauseous for some reason. And the dogs were so excited to see us. And I can just feel that energy watching this.
Yes. And I'm wearing my Alaskalicious shirt. Did you see it? Oh, no, that's Alaskalicious. So
funny. Oh, my God.
And I was like, I wonder if I still have that. I mean, if I did, it wouldn't be in, like, my current day clothes.
Yeah.
It would be at my parents' house somewhere, so I couldn't look for it. I'm not even sure. It's not even worth me digging for it because I don't even know if I still have it.
Right.
But that's what I wanted to wear here today.
What are you gonna wear for unveilings episode? Do you have anything?
I'm gonna wear my costume.
Oh God, I have my costume, but I feel like I just can't wear it because it's like stomach out, and I don't want to be sitting here like Jabba the Hutt. Blah. And the pants like are so low, like they barely cover my crotch.
I mean, I am worried about how my stomach's going to look sitting here, but...
But yours is a little more coverage.
Mine, I can pull up. Like, I wear it really low on the hips, but it also can go up on the belly if I wanted it to.
Mine has no such hope. If I had, like, a middle piece I could wear with it, I would wear it, but...
You have a corset you could put on with it?
Not anything that would match, because it's such a specific color of teal blue. Mm-hmm. And then I don't wear anything else in that episode that I have still. It's just, like, casual Playboy merch and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll find something that's teal, or maybe I'll just wear a tennis skirt.
I was going to wear it, but I'll bring a different outfit just in case I chicken out. But I'll wear it here because it's kind of hard to get into. There was not even a zipper or anything. Like, I have to, like, pull it on.
I love that outfit. It's so colorful.
I like it, too. So I was excited to wear it again.
Do you have a best and worst?
Yeah, best and worst. Okay, my worst is probably the scene you didn't see, the ice cream thing. Like, that really has, like, bothered me ever since, like, it happened. Like, because I don't like to be a non-sport, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to do it. I'm not the one that's, like...
prepared.
Yeah, that's going to go, like, sulk in my room and be like, I don't want to do that scene. And I felt like I was the person for that, even though it wasn't really... I had reason to be that way. I just... It's bothered me since that day that I felt like I was put in that position. So that kind of bugs me.
Yeah, I felt like when we were traveling and filming, that was definitely a hazard. Like, I remember feeling that our first Europe trip, because we were so excited to do everything, but something weird happened that didn't, like, align with, like, the schedule and the time change, where I thought we had more time between Cannes and Paris than we did, but we were going on no fucking sleep.
Yeah.
To the point where... I mean, we pulled it together and we had an amazing time, but it was always that kind of, like, our travel was so cramped together that it was like you're kind of jerking yourself around a little bit.
Well, and when you think you're done, but then all of a sudden the producers are like, well, we just want to get, like, scenes of you guys, like, hanging out and bonding and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's been a long day and a lot of travel and we're tired and stuff. And it isn't that I don't want to do them, but, like, I wasn't expecting to do them. I thought our day was kind of over and we could just, like... Oh, you know what? I said I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I crawled in bed. I know I turned on the TV. Like, I was just going to, like, chill and watch, like, whatever, Forensic Files or Dateline or whatever was on at that time. Like, that's what I wanted to do, is just, like, chill for a little bit. And then they had more scenes out of nowhere. So that bothers me. Even though you guys never saw that, really, that has always kind of bothered me that that happened. And obviously... It's not, like, a bad scene that I would remove. I would definitely keep it in there. But the plane incident, like, I just am really curious, like, how close to death we were right there.
I think my worst was the fact that my parents couldn't stay for the whole thing and that my sister couldn't come at all.
Yeah.
But the silver lining in that is I do think that the three of us being by ourselves in Craig. I mean, Joe Piastro was with us too, but just the three of us being together was such a special bonding experience, mm-hmm. I think. So that was my worst. What was your best?
My best is what you just said, super bonding. It was a really special time. The forest scene, I wish the cameras did it justice, but it was seriously magical. I thought the whole trip was incredible. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, I thought everything was amazing.
Yeah, my best is just everything. Like, it's my, like I said, it's my favorite episode of the entire series. It was fun. It was great bonding. And I think one thing that's just so important to me is that the show was exciting. It had drama, but it was situational. It was the plane almost crashed. It mm-hmm. wasn't interpersonal. It wasn't, oh, Holly's rolling her eyes or, you know, we're just making a face or,
right.
you know, Kendra's being a bitch or whatever. Like, right. it wasn't any of that. It was a great episode, lots to see, but we were all good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. It was a good episode.
So that's Half-Baked Alaska.
I want to ask you really quick before we close out. Have you ever, there is a dessert or something called a Baked Alaska, right?
Yes.
Have you ever had it or do you know what it is?
100%. In fact, I had one like 2 days ago at Carver Steak.
Oh, really? What is it? By the way, I love Carver Steak.
Yeah, well, it's so good. It's ice cream. Lots of times they'll do, it's a very like 1950s dessert. Lots of times they'll do like Neapolitan ice cream inside it. And then they do like a marshmallow meringue on the outside. And they put like a flambé, like whatever alcohol they use, and set it on fire. So it's like this toasted marshmallow ice cream goodness.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever had one.
Yeah, they have one at Carver Steak. It's really good. I probably will have posted it on my social at some point, but.
And is it, it's called a Baked Alaska, right? Not mm-hmm. a Half-Baked Alaska. That's just
that's just their cheeky title for the show.
Okay, Baked Alaska. That's so funny. All right.
If you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Not next level. patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.